Part 3. You'll hear an interview with an engineer called Roger Moffat, who now works in the film industry. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 3.
It seems only fitting that former construction engineer Roger Moffat should have used his redundancy money to change direction and break into Hollywood, creating special effects for film and television, for, by his own flamboyant admission, he's no conventional engineer but a born performer who loves an audience. Do you remember a certain car commercial in which the car was driven down the side of a skyscraper? The building facade and windows were built by Roger's own company for a daring stunt whose trade secret he will not divulge. He also constructed sections of a bridge for the film Mary Riley, which starred Julia Roberts and John Malkovich. So, Roger, how did it all start?
Well, about 10 years ago, I had a heart bypass operation, and about the same time, I was made redundant. I was feeling pretty low at the time, so I decided that the only thing to do was to take my working life into my own hands and set up my own business.
And what kind of success did you have in the early days?
You could say it was a bit like taking a roller coaster ride and wondering when you were going to come flying off at breakneck speed. Everything was a challenge. Finance, production, marketing.
Mm-hmm. But that's all in the past. You're apparently much sought after now. I hear forthcoming film productions are queuing up for your services.
Some, yes. There's no doubt that we're certainly growing rapidly, but we're still small. And I think it's probably important to remain that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen too many organisations just grow and grow, and in the end, they finish up overreaching themselves, stretching themselves to the limit.
Mm. And do you have any regrets about the way things have gone, about the way your life has taken a different turn?
To be honest, none at all. I feel that I've escaped being a slave to a regular income, from commuting, from having to justify my actions to everyone, from having to attend the office party, from having to book my holidays in advance. Actually, I don't have any holidays at all at the moment, come to think of it. I'm too busy. But best of all, I've nothing to do with office politics.
Probably the biggest advantage of all. So, what's the secret of your meteoric rise?
Oh, I couldn't have done anything without the support of my wife, Lily, who's also my business partner. And there's our two daughters, of course, Natasha and Katya. They've all been wonderful.
So, what kind of job did you start out doing?
I graduated in mechanical engineering and then spent about 20 years in industry. Then my job, I was the chief engineer in an air conditioning firm, just disappeared overnight. Anyway, after that, I set up my own computer-aided system that makes really intricate architectural models.
And you also supply components for the aerospace industry, don't you?
We do. But I have to admit that it's the film work that really interests me most.
Hmm. Do you worry about the future?
Oh, no more than anyone else. I mean, there's no job security anywhere these days, is there? Of course, it's a risk running your own company, but then you're equally as vulnerable staying employed. I decided it was safer to be in charge of my own show than to be a part of someone else's. Well, naturally, I've had problems. We had to sell the family house, the one I built myself. But looking back, It all seems worth it. I was always infuriated by having to justify myself to people whom I didn't consider to be my intellectual superiors.
How would you describe yourself? What are your strengths and weaknesses?
I think I'm a bit of an oddball character, really. I suppose you might say that I was a hard-headed romantic. I believe that an engineer has to invent ideas. You need to be very talented. You need to have a feeling for balance and form. You also need to feel you have status and that people value what you're doing. I've always seen engineers as sort of visionaries, if you like.
Mm.
Engineering can give you great power, a position in the world. And if you don't look after your engineers, then you're in great danger of losing your prestige, your position. Engineering's still the workshop of the world in every country. We've built superb ships, motorbikes, motor cars. Now we're entering a new phase with new challenges.
And what about the tools of your trade? How do you view those?
To me, mechanical things are magical. A motor car is a thrilling bit of science. The microchip is a masterpiece of theoretical design. Machines of unbelievable complexity make them. But from my point of view, the most rewarding thing of all is that all these things are designed by engineers.
You certainly seem to have a passion for your profession. I think the mystique of the film world will be pretty safe in your hands. Thanks for coming to talk to us today, Roger.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
It seems only fitting that former construction engineer Roger Moffat should have used his redundancy money to change direction and break into Hollywood, creating special effects for film and television, for, by his own flamboyant admission, he's no conventional engineer but a born performer who loves an audience. Do you remember a certain car commercial in which the car was driven down the side of a skyscraper? The building facade and windows were built by Roger's own company for a daring stunt whose trade secret he will not divulge. He also constructed sections of a bridge for the film Mary Riley, which starred Julia Roberts and John Malkovich. So, Roger, how did it all start?
Well, about 10 years ago, I had a heart bypass operation, and about the same time, I was made redundant. I was feeling pretty low at the time, so I decided that the only thing to do was to take my working life into my own hands and set up my own business.
And what kind of success did you have in the early days?
You could say it was a bit like taking a roller coaster ride and wondering when you were going to come flying off at breakneck speed. Everything was a challenge. Finance, production, marketing.
Mm-hmm. But that's all in the past. You're apparently much sought after now. I hear forthcoming film productions are queuing up for your services.
Some, yes. There's no doubt that we're certainly growing rapidly, but we're still small. And I think it's probably important to remain that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen too many organisations just grow and grow, and in the end, they finish up overreaching themselves, stretching themselves to the limit.
Mm. And do you have any regrets about the way things have gone, about the way your life has taken a different turn?
To be honest, none at all. I feel that I've escaped being a slave to a regular income, from commuting, from having to justify my actions to everyone, from having to attend the office party, from having to book my holidays in advance. Actually, I don't have any holidays at all at the moment, come to think of it. I'm too busy. But best of all, I've nothing to do with office politics.
Probably the biggest advantage of all. So, what's the secret of your meteoric rise?
Oh, I couldn't have done anything without the support of my wife, Lily, who's also my business partner. And there's our two daughters, of course, Natasha and Katya. They've all been wonderful.
So, what kind of job did you start out doing?
I graduated in mechanical engineering and then spent about 20 years in industry. Then my job, I was the chief engineer in an air conditioning firm, just disappeared overnight. Anyway, after that, I set up my own computer-aided system that makes really intricate architectural models.
And you also supply components for the aerospace industry, don't you?
We do. But I have to admit that it's the film work that really interests me most.
Hmm. Do you worry about the future?
Oh, no more than anyone else. I mean, there's no job security anywhere these days, is there? Of course, it's a risk running your own company, but then you're equally as vulnerable staying employed. I decided it was safer to be in charge of my own show than to be a part of someone else's. Well, naturally, I've had problems. We had to sell the family house, the one I built myself. But looking back, it all seems worth it. I was always infuriated by having to justify myself to people whom I didn't consider to be my intellectual superiors.
How would you describe yourself? What are your strengths and weaknesses?
I think I'm a bit of an oddball character, really. I suppose you might say that I was a hard-headed romantic. I believe that an engineer has to invent ideas. You need to be very talented. You need to have a feeling for balance and form. You also need to feel you have status and that people value what you're doing. I've always seen engineers as sort of visionaries, if you like.
Mm.
Engineering can give you great power, a position in the world. And if you don't look after your engineers, then you're in great danger of losing your prestige, your position. Engineering's still the workshop of the world in every country. We've built superb ships, motorbikes, motor cars. Now we're entering a new phase with new challenges.
And what about the tools of your trade? How do you view those?
To me, mechanical things are magical. A motor car is a thrilling bit of science. The microchip is a masterpiece of theoretical design. Machines of unbelievable complexity make them. But from my point of view, the most rewarding thing of all is that all these things are designed by engineers.
You certainly seem to have a passion for your profession. I think the mystique of the film world will be pretty safe in your hands. Thanks for coming to talk to us today, Roger.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.